This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Erosion at a Montauk beach reveals some new challenges. Connecticut parents say childcare is just too expensive. 500-year-old artifacts were returned to the Mohegan tribe this week. Plus, we have the latest from WSHU's Birdsong Break. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garon. Storms over the July 4th weekend have eroded a part of the beach at Ditch Plains in Montauk. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio reports the erosion revealed a decades-old septic tank protruding from the bluffs.
East Hampton town officials secured an emergency permit from the State Department of Environmental Conservation to remove the septic tank and the concrete cinder blocks surrounding it. The local historical society says the septic tank was once part of a sprawling estate on the bluffs overlooking the ocean. Historians say coastal Montauk has suffered chronic erosion since at least the 1970s. The beach at Ditch Plains underwent a major sand replenishment project late last year. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
53% of Connecticut parents say childcare is too expensive. That's according to a survey just released by UConn and the state's Office of Early Childhood. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
Vanessa Hawk is one of the parents. She says it was impossible to find affordable childcare for her son when she took a full-time job recently.
It was frustrating because we were paying for two different programs for insufficient coverage, and the amount that we were paying was more than our mortgage.
And that was just during the school year.
In the summertime, when my daughter was no longer in her elementary school program, she would need care as well, so our costs doubled.
The UConn survey also found that 30% of Connecticut parents were actively searching for childcare on a waiting list or both, and 35% currently have childcare arrangements that don't meet their needs. The survey of 3,700 parents and caregivers was conducted last fall. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
New York Republicans are calling for a hearing on the state's voter registration infrastructure. It's in response to news out of New Jersey that a software glitch by an outside vendor led to around 400 non-citizens voting there. New York state agencies have dozens of contracts with the same firm. They include Department of Motor Vehicles contracts for software that lets people apply for driver's licenses and register them to vote at the same time. Assemblymember Matt Slater is a Westchester County Republican. He says he was surprised by the New Jersey glitch.
I think that should give us reason to pause and reevaluate and recalibrate.
Democrats who control the state assembly didn't comment on the call for the hearing. The New York State Board of Elections says it has a different registration process than New Jersey, and there's no indication of any errors. Coming up, indigenous artifacts are returned to the Mohegan tribe. That story is coming up.
On your commute, on your walk, on your couch. With the WSHU app, you can stream your favorite shows, check playlists, and catch up on podcasts anytime. Plus, you can send us feedback right in the app. Tell us what you love or what you'd like more of. Download the WSHU app free on the App Store or Google Play.
Stony Brook University is getting almost $2.5 million from the federal government for AI and scientific research projects. The SUNY school will collaborate with nearby Brookhaven National Laboratory. The money comes from the Genesis Mission, a federal program that pairs research universities with federal labs like Brookhaven. New Haven Mayor Justin Elliker testified at a hearing that a troubled nightclub should lose its liquor license after dozens of police calls. Last year, police were called to Secrets Nightclub 42 times. They're at 28 so far this year, about once a week on average. The reasons? Violence, sexual assault, fights, disorderly conduct, and a host of other issues, according to the mayor's office. The State Liquor Commission now has 90 days to make a decision. A giant maze is coming to Long Island this fall. The maze of evergreen hedges will cover 2.3 acres on the Shamrock Christmas Tree Farm in Matatuck. Farm operators say it'll feature an event space with a fireplace in the middle. The maze opens September 26th. This is WSHU's Birdsong Break. This week, the least turn. North America's smallest tern, is an expert fisher. Hover, dive, catch, repeat. You can spot these agile birds along our beaches from April through September. Take a breath, listen, and let nature remind you to slow down. This has been WSHU's Bird Song Break featuring the least tern. Special thanks to the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. Visit WSHU.org for more. For decades, one Connecticut History Museum has held indigenous artifacts dating as far back as 500 years. Now they've returned them to the Mohegan Tribal Nation. WSHU's Janice Roman has more.
The Mohegan believed when someone creates anything, like jewelry or a basket, they put their spirit into it. Centuries ago, members of the Mohegan tribe made two works, a traditional woven basket and a bag used to carry corn. Mohegan Chief Marilyn Malerba says those spirits couldn't rest until they returned to Mohegan land.
These spirits are all going to be peaceful and they are all going to be at rest because they are here with their other ancestors and they're here on their homelands.
Malerva says the bag is the oldest artifact dating back to the 1550s.
And you can still see the decorative marks on the bag, you know, so that the dyes that they use, they were all natural based plant dyes, are still intact.
Tribal leaders marked their return with a ceremony outside the Mohegan Church on tribal grounds in Uncasville.
We are joyous to welcome our ancestors home to Mohegan Hill, a place of good spirits where they will be surrounded by our ancestors.
In the 1990s, Congress created a way for institutions to return remains or artifacts to tribes in a process known as repatriation. The Mohegan asked the museum to return the artifacts. The museum denied their request.
Looking back today, it's clear that the disagreement was never just about the law.
That's former museum director Robert Krett.
It was about two different ways of understanding history and stewardship.
He says the museum reviewed the request, consulted experts, and decided the artifacts did not meet the legal requirements for repatriation. But he says that was a mistake.
30 years ago, the Historical Society largely asked, what do we have to do? Today, the Connecticut Museum of Culture and History asked itself, what should we do?
Kretz says the museum has changed its views in the decades since. He says they moved from legal obligations to a deeper sense of ethical responsibility. In 2023, the museum changed its name from just the Connecticut Museum to the Connecticut Museum of Culture and History.
That change was more than just a new name. It reflected a commitment to placing living communities, not simply historical collections, at the center of our work.
Then the Mohegan tribe called and asked them to revisit the request.
I thought, you know, here's an opportunity to use diplomacy, but also to use, you know, to talk a little bit about what are the importance of these sacred objects.
The museum spent 2 years in talks with the Mohegan, learning about their culture and visiting their tribal grounds. Kretz says those meetings helped them recognize that museums don't simply preserve the past, but they should build trust with their neighbors in the present. Kretz retired earlier this year. At the homecoming ceremony, Kretz said he has a lot to look back on in his 40-year career.
Yet signing the transfer agreement for these objects may well be the most meaningful act of my career. Not because it involved a large project or a great investment, but because it reflected something deeper.
The chief of the Mohegan tribe says it's meaningful too, because it's a way for the tribe and the museum to tell their shared story together. Janice Roman, WSHU News.
For the latest from around Long Island Sound. Listen on the radio, online, with our free app, and of course, tune in right here to the After All Things podcast every weekday evening. Thank you so much to everyone who gave to WSHU during our one-day pledge drive yesterday. If you didn't get a chance to give, well, you can do so now. Just head on over to WSHU.org. And if you're looking for another way to support us, we also have a brand new merch shop, also at WSHU.org. Check out tees, tanks, mugs, and so much more. Thank you so much for your support. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day and a wonderful weekend. We'll speak on Monday.